Coming up on today's show,
he said to myself and my wife, there are only five people that makes decisions in this industry, and you guys are talking to one of them. Stop being the eagles that's in the chicken coop, because the chickens will never tell you that you're an eagle.
If I could get you everything, I'll try to get it all for you. You're my baby, and everything I do is for you.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from just outside of Sacramento, California, my guest is a composer, record producer, singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, recording and mix engineer, and YouTube personality. He is a voting member of the Recording Academy and has composed music for T-Mobile, CoverGirl, and even an NBA star. Plus, as lead composer, he scored an original series on the Zeus Network. He has partnered with a handful of audio brands on his YouTube channel, which is approaching a combined total of 10 million video views. You have been hearing an original song of his called I Got You. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Archie Beats.
Thank you for having me, Bruce. I'm happy to be here.
You bet. Yes, Archie. We will get to this eventually during our conversation, but I think you just moved across the country, so thank you for taking time out to talk with me today. Let's get started by having you tell the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing called I Got You.
Well, I Got You is a traditional R&B song that is just basically a man expressing his love for the love of his life, which was based on my wife that I'm married to now, which is a wonderful, wonderful person. But with the song, I produced that song, I engineered it, mixed it, wrote it, and it was just a really fun and creative process because I was able to include organic events that happened with my relationship with my wife and just us growing as a couple. So it's a really personal song to me.
You mentioned organic events. Was it just that natural in terms of the song coming to you, or was there one significant event that made you stop in your tracks and say, why have I not written a song for her yet? I need to write a relationship song. And that got you started on I Got You. Or like you said, was it just kind of a natural progression?
It was just a natural progression. It's just the overall theme of our relationship. So it was one of those adventures of being young and in love, you know.
Is that, and this might be a dumb question, although I do like to subscribe to the theory that the only dumb question is the one not asked, is that one of the easiest songs you're going to write because it's about something as close and intimate and personal as your marriage?
It's always that way, right? It's always that way. It's very easy to do these type of songs, and also it flows, you know, it really flows because it's a part of you, and as artists and as musicians, it's always a great thing when we can express ourselves in a natural way. And also with your, like, for example, my wife being my energy source for their creativity. So It's so easy.
Wow. I like that. I like that. And I think where I was coming from with that question is if you're going to write a song about something that you didn't personally experience, there's probably going to be a lot more effort that you need to really apply yourself and push yourself to write it, as opposed to this, which would seem like, all I got to do is sit down. It's going to come out naturally because it's about my wife, as opposed to something that, well, I never really experienced it, but yeah, I'll give it a try.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the case.
Well, wow, with all those hats that you wear that I read off in the intro, we have got a lot to cover today. So let's go back to the start. Tell us about your early beginnings.
Well, I was born in the Mississippi Delta. So as you can imagine, that's where the R&B It's not so traditional blues, but a lot of my inspiration and a lot of like my just how I play my instruments come from the Delta. We have the great B.B. King. I'm actually from his hometown, and many other artists that have sprouted up around there. And yeah, I went on to play in a marching band, went to an HBCU as a section leader of the percussion section, and played the keys in a jazz band and sang in the ensemble, the vocals in the ensemble. So it was just a musical trajectory from birth.
Having said that, though, you could be born in B.B. King's hometown, and let's be honest, every single person in his hometown can't possibly have the desire to pursue music. So, was it just kind of very innate, or was it, well, my mom was into music, she pushed me, my brothers and sisters were? Just describe what really kind of gave you the nudge.
My mother plays a few instruments, but my father, his entire family, back generations, my great grandfather was a pianist, and my dad was a multi-instrumentalist and a student conductor in the eighth grade for the marching band.
Wow.
So, and they made the mistake of buying us, my brothers and I, buying us guitars and microphones at three. And we
Wow.
just started this. And reenacting everything that we saw on television, which was organic, just or you knew it was going to be music or something playing, and we just imitated it.
You know, that's interesting, though, because so many guests will use the expression, I came out of the womb singing, or, oh, I was always singing around the house as a kid. But to be 3 years old, and for parents, I'm supporting this. I like this story, Archie. I like this idea for parents to say, we're going to put microphones in their hand, we're going to put guitars, drums, whatever it is. I think that's putting you so much further ahead of the game than the boy or the girl that walks around the house singing, because kids just do that. You know, to notice the talent eventually is different. But to go the step that your parents did and say, hey, we're going to get microphones, we're going to get instruments, like these boys are going to start playing. I like that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that was the idea. I think I actually think they bamboozled us to kind of lure us to trap up music. And but I really appreciate it, and I love that those events took place and they exposed us to it. And it definitely gives you a head start, you know, and also it provides clarity, 'cause I played sports too. I was a varsity tennis champion in high school. We were the state champions. I did a lot of think when I, you know, I'm just a driven person, but it's when the music just hit different. It was my life's calling, if that makes sense.
I love that you shared that, because I was about to ask you, when you get started at such a young age and the parents are putting instruments in your hand, do you ever get to a period where you're 9, 10, 11 years old and you go, hold on a minute. Like, this was handed to me. I didn't necessarily have a option to choose, and maybe you do get drawn away by something else and you leave music for a while. And so, like you said, there you were playing tennis, but the music, it just sounds like was in your blood. And as much as you were able to go and play tennis, it sounds like, no, the music, I was never going to give that up. I was just doing two things at once.
Oh yeah, it definitely happened, but it's like, hold on, I supposed to do something else. I already like to play football, basketball. I'm just because I'm 6'5" and I'm 250 pounds, so I was tall when I was young as well. And the coaches were trying to get me to play. I played all types of sports, but I enjoyed it. But nothing hit like the music. Nothing hit like it, man.
Last week on this show, we heard bass player Vale Johnson talk a lot about Paul McCartney and even some stuff that he heard. I'm talking about Vale, that he did not like, that he did not want to duplicate on his way to developing a very unique style of playing. Archie, tell us about your musical inspirations.
Oh man, oh, it was the Grammys where Michael Jackson won. I can't even recall the show, the award show, but I was young. I'm 40 years old now, but this was in the mid late 80s. And my mother played a recording of Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk. And at that point, I was like, who are these people? What do they do? I want to do that. And because I already had the instruments around me, It was just the whole thing of Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones just being on the television with trophies. I'm like, who gets, I'm a child of maybe five, six, who gets trophies for singing and making music? And it wasn't necessarily the trophies, but it brought an attention to it. I'm like, this must be really important, but this guy dances things and they're making things and have these wood things around them and making noise from the wooden things. Like, I need to do that. That's what I want to do.
Wow, that's cool. And we do have to pause to acknowledge the passing of Quincy Jones. What a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous contributor he was to music. And I don't think there's a music aficionado. Okay, I'm going to put a label on that because there's the casual music listener that might say, who would you, Quincy who? And to them, I say, oh my gosh, how do you not know who he was? But so sad that we lost him. Fortunately, he led a long, 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 and we know very, very successful life. So it's cool to hear that you were noticing him and in a sense, being influenced by him at a very young age.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I have no idea. It was him and just him and Michael. They were the dynamic duo. I didn't understand it. As a matter of fact, I have a confession to make. I didn't even understand a record producer until I was well into my musical scholarship at MVSU. And I was like a producer because I thought you just sing songs and someone records it. Because the Mississippi Delta is a very, 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 it's slow there. But everybody's making music and playing instruments and capturing it. So I didn't understand the process. Because you remember back in the day, you hear the stories of how they used to go to the radio station at the crossroads in Greenwood and Greenville, Mississippi, and they would record at the radio station live, and they would press those records and send them out. So I thought that was the process. When I discovered the music producer, I was like, oh, that's what Quincy was. He was the music producer. He was the just the guy behind the just the orchestration of guiding the artist to create and cultivate a sound. So that's and I changed, man. At that point, I was like, okay, I'm driven. And surprisingly, that was 20 years ago.
Wow, that is powerful. That is powerful. Folks, let me get you caught up with a clean list of where I am on the road these days because I feel like I've been throwing dates and locations out randomly and they might not be so easy to keep track of as a result. I have not been publicizing it anywhere other than in last week's e-newsletter, but this week I'm actually hanging my hat in Kissimmee, Florida. Next week, November 19th to the 23rd, I will be in Nashville. On Thanksgiving Day, I will fly out west and be in Las Vegas from November 28th to December 4th. I will be speaking at the Las Vegas Writers Retreat on December 2nd and 3rd. That is for writers of literature, books, not music. January 16th to the 19th, I will be in Orlando for PodFest Multimedia Expo. Go to podfestexpo.com for details. I will be one of the speakers for that event. And then the next week, I will be in Anaheim, California for the NAMM show. My exact travel dates are still being formulated. Email me through podcast@nhte.net or DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account about meeting up if you are or will be in one of those cities during the dates that I will be in town. I would love to say hello and meet you in person and say thank you for listening to the podcast. Archie, in the lead up to today, I convinced myself that you are not flying solo. Assuming I'm right on that, you mentioned your wife. Tell us about balancing family and creativity.
Oh, wow. Well, let's just start by saying it's not an easy task. It's one of those songs that's really hard to write, that is hadn't worked its way into the organic realm yet because we have the chaos of a 3-year-old toddler.
Oh, man.
So that has been a ride. But schedules have been the best. My wife is actually an influencer marketing, and she's a director of influencer marketing for a company, and she's also a lead strategist. And also being an author, we have to create those schedules with me working on music and her doing that. And my son is a really bright 3-year-old. He's a lot smarter than me. He has his mother's intelligence. So the scheduling it was imperative. I cut off every day, hard cutoffs at 5. In my 20s and 30s, early 30s, because I just left the 30s, I could stay up all night and I can just work and create all day. But with having a child, you have to have those schedules. Scheduling has been just everything. Like I said, the hard cutoffs at 5 and breakfast every day together and dinner every night together. And, you know, it works, surprisingly.
Okay, but let me put you on the spot, though, because I know there's people listening who are saying you can't schedule creativity. What about when it's 9:30 at night and he's sitting watching TV with his wife and all of a sudden he gets a song idea and he's got to go and a voice note or do something more with it? So just talk about, as I called it, not scheduling creativity.
Well, you are absolutely right. You can't really schedule creativity. But fortunately for me, my wife is a very creative person as well. So when I get up and get a creative idea, most likely she's dismissed herself already working on her book or reading something. So it's just a natural flow. That part is natural. So when he goes down and we have dinner, my wife and I, we hang out for a little bit, we're creating around the clock whenever he's not involved. And hanging out. Sometimes we create with each other, next to each other.
Wow, I love it. I love it. Those of us that are creatives will get asked by our parents and or our spouse, where's this all going? The polite way to ask it, Archie, seeing how much you have already accomplished, is what are your ultimate goals?
Oh, man. My ultimate goal, my wife and I keep saying my wife, you know, this is what happens when you get married. since she's an author, we are working on a media company and we'll be creating IPs and intellectual properties. I've already, you know, scored a few TV shows and commercials, but I'm going to probably give that to someone else. But we're cranking out a media company and a production company to where we can create our own IPs and film and music.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. Have you, because you said your wife is a scheduler, have you set a deadline for yourselves? Is there a business plan or is this kind of just in the brainstorming phase right now?
Well, upon getting the first book released, she's written 3 already. We're going to start writing scripts for the screenplay for the actual books. And we're just going to start from there and just rev up.
Yeah,
I know it sounds crazy, but we plan things and set short-term goals and long-term goals, but we never put an actual time stamp on it, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. It does, because these things are continuously evolving and things come up along the way that I'm going to say you get sidetracked, but you get sidetracked in a good way. And you don't want to feel like we're off schedule because something else popped up. If that something else is something terrific, well, then there's nothing bad in that.
Oh, yeah. It's like if you're an artist and you're a multifaceted artist and you do sculptures and paintings. If someone gives you a room that is the size of an auditorium or a gymnasium, and they give you clay and they give you all of the paint that you need, you're going to have a field day. You need that space to expand out. You need that space to create multiple things that actually satisfy your creativity. And that's kind of how we look at it. And there's no time on the scoreboard. And we've accomplished so much in a matter of 10 years. Because before doing this, I don't mean to go on a tangent, I was actually a road engineer for Interscope at Geffen A&M.
Wow.
And that's where my career took me. And I was just traveling with everybody, recording in all these studios. And finally, I said, no, let's sit down and do this. So with what I've accomplished in just 10 years is what you actually described at the beginning and read out at the beginning of this interview. Nothing was earlier than 10 years ago. And we've never set a time limit. And when you just lay it out like that and just give yourself grace and give yourself the space to make the accomplishments that you want without putting a timestamp, you will be surprised at how much you can accomplish, man.
Well, and you know, you and I are walking the same path, but I know there's people out there who are listening and saying, Archie's living the dream. He walked away from the 9 to 5 to be his own boss, to be an entrepreneur. And let's be honest, because I've done the same thing, Archie, walked away from the security of a nice 9-to-5 that has a good salary, has good benefits. In your case, you know, some major music companies that you were working for, it may look sexy, it may look attractive, but that doesn't mean that it's a decision that you make overnight and wake up in the morning and go, yeah, I'm going to quit my job today.
Yeah. It took months to do that and planning. But of course, you know, walking away from something so secure, you can't really replace that, but you have to kind of be just driven on the other side of that when you walk away from it. You have to have the plan, but give yourself grace and don't set a time limit up on yourself. Unless there's like money involved or something, you have to definitely transition into something that's going to be equal or something that could contribute to your survival. But for the most part, if you have secured enough financial like stability for 6 months to a year, you can kind of test some things out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally does. I love everything that you just said. My security blanket, my 9-to-5 that I walked away from, was working in the Olympic movement, and I was traveling all around the world. I was in the job for 10 and a half years, and to walk away from something like that, to just go and do it all on your own, that's a big leap. But you gave some terrific, terrific advice. I want to jump back to the question you answered previously about balancing family and creativity, because there's a similar scenario that I wonder about, given that you are a recording and mix engineer, which can be both a blessing and a curse. What I'm getting at is, tell us about balancing the technical side and the creative side, because this is something I have to face myself, meaning fighting against being in the middle of an interview and wanting to be the host, wanting to be the creative, but the editor in me popping its head up now and then and trying to distract me from the guest. What has your experience been with balancing, as I said, the technical side and the creative side?
Oh, man. At first, it was a train wreck. I literally, it may sound crazy, but I have sticky notes. If I'm working on something in particular, whether it's in music, the music production or recording, and it could be my project as well, I take a sticky note and I say, let's attack the music production. So you're a music producer right now. And when you get, you stick to that sticky note. Do not sway. Don't move away from it. Don't put anything, or don't look at anything else, because it can become overwhelming. And that's surprisingly is a quirky like organization thing that I have. And if I'm the engineer, put the engineer sticky note on there, and you know, that's how I balance it. But it's really hard. But when I'm working on a certain song, and I'm working on a certain creative project with myself and my work, I give myself the grace and the space to kind of move around a little bit. You know, it's not often. So, but that's how I balance it.
I like the sticky notes approach. I think it's probably something that takes a while to get used to. And I'm putting this in the form of a question. I got to believe that you get to a point where, okay, now I need to put the sticky notes in a different place so that it doesn't just kind of blend in and I ignore it because I'm so used to looking at it.
Oh, I on my keyboard and mouse, it's right there. I always look in a certain position because in my, you know, as an engineer, you have things laid out a certain way and you're going to always look that direction to turn up your preamp, or you're going to always look that direction to adjust your threshold on a certain compressor. And even on the computer, if we're just doing online editing, I stick the sticky note on the actual part, the black part of the, you see, this is so detailed, the black part of the MacBook Pro or iMac that I'm working on.
No, I love it all. I'm a very detail-oriented person, and it totally makes sense because if you're going to create that habit for yourself, you have to know, this is my normal routine, this is my normal workflow, so where in that process can I line these things up to keep myself on track? That way, whatever the project is, stays on pace.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Wow. Wow. I am joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from just outside of Sacramento, California, by composer, record producer, singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, recording and mix engineer, and YouTube personality, Archie Beats. visit his official website at archiebeats.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. His original music is available on the likes of Spotify and iTunes, among other platforms. Be sure to go to his official YouTube channel. You will see links to it on archiebeats.com. As I mentioned in the intro, he is nearing 10 million combined video views on there. Plus, because I feel like not everyone knows this, on his or anyone's YouTube channel for that matter, you see the start of the channel description, and then you always see the word more to read the rest. Well, that will actually pop up a window where you will then also get a list of links to, in Archie's case, his Facebook, his Twitter, and his Instagram. And actually, at the bottom of his Spotify profile, you can access those same social media links as well. I want to make a case that the Owl app, Owl like the bird, except with two W's and two L's, is considered a social platform as well. I mean, heck, you make phone calls through there. Having a conversation is by all means social, right? Owl is a social networking platform that connects people instantly through private one-on-one audio calls. What this provides is a way to make new contacts immediately. You see someone you want to connect with on the app, you hit the button, and it calls them. It's just that simple. Experts from a whole long list of industries. I forget what the number of categories is up to on there these days, but get yourself on there and you will see as you're setting it up and picking those that apply to you. Plus, that will be part of the search feature in terms of pinpointing the specialists that you're looking to connect with. On my podcast website, nhte.net, tap or click where it says news and then read the article under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. There are links in there to download Owl for free from the App Store or Google Play. You will also see my invitation code in there. That is a required field as you're setting up the app on your phone. Download it, call me, and let's talk. Archie, tell us about your overall experience in the business. How has it been for you?
It's been great. Sometimes you start out in a different frame of mind and you experience the industry and then you experience the bad side. And then you also get your footing. And getting your footing means, you know, you understand that by implementing schedules and having self-care and having some R&R time, you can really have a great experience in the industry. And I always tell my wife, we're back to her again. I work around the industry. I find the things that I like and I kind of tend to just bask in it, like people. There's some really great people and really awesome people in the industry, and they are there and you can find them. And community is everything. But overall, my experience overall from start to finish or start to where we are now present has been fantastic.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned working around the community, because I think what happens is folks look at someone like you that's a creative and they say, oh my gosh, that must be ideal. You're your own boss. You set your own hours. You could do whatever you want. And while some of that is true, to do it by yourself is, I'm going to say, darn near close to impossible, if you understand the spirit with which I'm saying that. And it just makes it so much more enjoyable when you meet other people who are doing what you're doing and they know the struggle.
Right, right.
Or they can collaborate with you.
Oh, 100%. That's the beauty of the industry. Majority of people that exist, all they want to do is just make music, man. It's only when the icky business part of it gets involved, or the people that actually work in the business sector of the industry, that's when you kind of experience like the not so good part. But ultimately, majority of everybody in the industry, they just want to create something that they can enjoy and make money at the same time. But that's the real goal, is people just want to make music.
Well, yeah. And I was going to say, it's nice to have that support network to lean on when it's something that some people would come to you with their handout and say, if you pay me, I'll show you how to do it. And it's sometimes as easy as just messaging a colleague that you've built such a good relationship with that you say, hey, I need a better way to do my invoices. Like, how the heck do you do yours? And then they share those resources with you and they solve your problem quick and easy, as opposed to the person that's a stranger that says, well, if you pay me this much per hour, I will train you for 6 hours of how to do your invoices more efficiently. And it's like, wow, that's one way to approach it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a creative person at the heart. I have had so many companies to approach me about creating a masterclass on engineering and music production and really big platforms. And I said, hey, I can just do this on YouTube and give people the information for free and, you know, do the affiliate thing and play some instruments and say, this is the instrument I used and this is what I did and this is the program and software I use. And, you know, it's been great. It's been great without, you know, feeling the guilt of taking money from creators, you know, when you can just give it to them for free and you can make money on another side. You know what I'm saying?
And man, I'm shaking my head. I'm applauding you because that's a very noble decision to make. Everybody knows how easy it would be to say to that company, sure, when do we start? how much you can give me to do this? So, you know, I think it also kind of comes, it's one of those what comes around goes around, that you're willing to share your experience, your knowledge, your tools with people for free on YouTube, as opposed to, I'm doing this, I'm getting a nice check, I don't feel that great about it, but hey, it's keeping the lights on. So I'm going a long way to take my hat off to you, Archie, because that's not the easiest decision for some people to make.
Not in this economy. But that's a whole other conversation. And the changing of the industry, the new path and the new with streaming and all of that. I've been around long enough to see the financial issues in the industry and complexities, but at the same time, you can adjust and you can figure something out always.
Well, and because technology is changing, we might as well say, I'm going to be generous and say weekly. People are going to say daily. I'm going to say weekly. Technology is changing so rapidly that you may be doing something one way and a colleague of yours is going to come along and say, well, why don't you just use this plugin? Well, I didn't know about it yet, so thank you for turning me on to it. And someday you're going to go back to that person and you're going to give them some tool or some resource or some advice that is going to help them as well. So that's what it's all about. The creator community is helping one another and everybody enjoying and prospering together.
Yeah. Yes, I totally agree. And you are absolutely right about the things that are coming out in the technology. I actually get sometimes 6 months in advance of what's coming out, and it can be overwhelming. And the industry, just different tools are definitely updated and upgraded every, even from the same companies, it can get overwhelming, updated every month or week sometimes. So it's, whew, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why it's nice to have something like YouTube where people can come and comment and you can tell them, well, did you update to the latest version? No. Well, now you're two versions behind. That's probably your problem. It's something that simple, but we do get so overwhelmed with all the new rollouts that come and not staying up to date with our software that it might be as simple as you're just using the wrong version. That's all. That's one of the updates that they did in, you know, 6.1.
One of the most common mistakes. Errors. Yeah.
Well, I know it's tough to pick just one moment, but can you, in fact, point to a most impactful moment that you've had?
The most impactful. I've had several, but there are kings. I met this guy, and he, don't want to call any names, but he was one of the biggest decision makers in the industry. I'm just going to say he was a former CEO of Virgin, and he worked at 20th Century Fox for a long time. He said to myself and my wife, there are only five people that make decisions in this industry, and you guys are talking to one of them. And I'm going to tell you like this, you guys are very nice people. Stop being the eagles that's in a chicken coop, because the chickens will never tell you that you're an eagle. You would just be walking around and not thinking highly and not thinking and believing in yourself, and you would never fly. And you can just literally just squash the chickens. I know it sounds so bad. Sorry to the vegan audience out there. But that was one of the most defining moments, to have someone so just massive to say that to my wife and I. And it really made me start thinking different of, you know, just allocating my mind, my body, and my soul, and what I was capable of, and how I can still maintain that kindness while doing it. And if he took the time out of his day to talk to my wife and I every week, once a week, then obviously he was on to something.
Whoa.
So I'm glad I took that advice, and that was actually the start. It was 10 years ago.
But that was not a one-time and one-time-only conversation. He was talking with the two of you regularly?
Yes, but that statement, statement, defining statement right there, because to be honest with you, I had trouble. My wife said, you should start your YouTube channel 10 years ago, and I didn't start it until about 6 years ago. Mm. She said, you should do this. Nobody's going to. I'm like, oh, but I'm a serious engineer, and I've worked in the industry. Nobody's going to take me serious. And she said, no, you can do it. And that was one of the things that, because we were filming commercials, man, and I had this technical perspective of things. I love filmmaking and I love music. And why not just combine them? And it was the best decision I've made, because it provided so much freedom and so much time, you know, which is the most valuable resource.
Fantastic. Fantastic. There's a difference between what I just asked you and what I'm about to ask you. You have done a lot. Never mind me reading them off. Tell us in your own words about some of your career highlights.
Oh, cool. My career highlight was working with Bruno Mars for 3 days. And we recorded our song a day. And the crazy thing about it, this was like, you know, made to order. We recorded this song. I was touring with this artist named Jib. I was his road engineer, his in-house engineer. And the Interscope, Erica Grayson, set us up with Bruno and Philip and Ari. And we went to the studio for like just 3 days. We came out with a number one record. We came out with number two on 106 in Park. The music video hit number two. And this was, it was just like, I mean, watching those guys work and watching, like, just learning just certain things, because they learned from Dr. Luke, man. They learned from, they just worked with Whitney Houston and Flo Rida. They had some really great mentors, Bruno, and I actually got the opportunity to talk to Jackie Wilson's son, Bobby, and he was telling me about how Bruno just learned, he learned this from singing on a cruise ship with him and his dad and his brother. A lot of people don't know this.
Oh my gosh.
And Bobby was one of the guys, Jackie Wilson's son, to was literally trained them, and just to see that product work, that was like, whoa. And the next thing, another highlight, if I can say,
please,
was when we went to our first Grammys. My wife and I, as not label people, we got a chance to walk around and not have to run and do interviews and do all of this other things. We just got the opportunity to sit in the lobby at the Staples Center and say, oh, hi, Terry Lewis. Hi, Jimmy Jam. Mm. It's Marsha Ambrosia. It's so many people. LL Cool J. It's like you just got the opportunity to bask and realize that, hey, there's something to this. This is a great element to be in. So those were just highlights. It's not even a song or a TV show I scored or commercial. It's literally an experience. It's the experience that are the highlights.
for sure. Yeah. Someone would ask me, well, was going to two Olympic Games a highlight for you? And I'd say, I suppose, but then I would downshift into sitting and watching an Olympic softball game with actress Kristen Davis and say, that's more memorable to me than just the fact that I was at two Olympics. So yeah, I totally get it. That's good stuff. You mentioned to your wife several times, you mentioned before that you have a 3-year-old. I wonder, do you, as a result, have a studio you go to, or is it inside the house? Because I'm sure you know as well as anyone the importance of having a personal creative space.
Yes. Well, the fantastic part is with me being an engineer and studying how to build cables and build things and psychoacoustic treatment and things like that, I have my home studio. So it's my sanctuary, and I kind of wanted, when our son was born, I kind of wanted to have the open door policy to where he can walk from his bedroom to our studio and he can just play with some knobs. We don't stop him from touching anything because he needs to learn, and it's not like I can't fix it if he tears it up. It's all outside stuff and things that he can reach and touch. But it's an open door policy, and it's very important to have your creative sanctuary, to be honest, actually where you live. And that's why I admire Prince so much with his compound. He slept there, he worked there, and he ate dinner, any communion there with his people. So I can't have it any other way. It has to be in the house.
But fill in the blank for me, because I introduced you as being just outside of Sacramento, California. I don't know if everybody listening, especially since I've been fortunate to get listeners from all over the world, knows where Lake Tahoe, California is. But what I'm getting at is, I had mentioned that you moved across the country. You mentioned before that you were born in Mississippi, but when and why did you move to Northern California? I think, if my creeping I mean research was accurate, I think I saw on your Instagram it looked like maybe you moved from Atlanta to Northern California. Is that correct? And if so, when and why?
Yes, we are actually, this is a pit stop right now.
Oh.
My wife, my parents, they have a home here. And I'm working and moving back and forth to LA. I packed up the studio because we are transitioning to Los Angeles right now.
Ah.
So it's kind of like a 4 week thing, but it's just a little pit stop because they don't get to see the grandbaby often and they want to have some holiday fun. So we've given in and it's okay, this is the perfect transition moment. So we're setting up the studio in LA right now as we speak, and we have some road gadgets that we can make things happen with.
But am I correct that it's Atlanta that you were coming from?
Yes, Atlanta, Georgia.
So
Yep.
was it just the family angle that you just mentioned, or was there something else that made the two of you decide, let's move to California?
Oh, there are a few projects that are kind of in the works that we can't necessarily talk about now. But as I mentioned, her book is about to come out in January. It's right around the corner, and there are going to be some pretty exciting things that's coming around that. Like I said, film adaptations, hopefully television adaptations, but there is a couple of projects that are brewing around it. And I think I just actually gave a hint. So.
Okay. Well, I like that you mentioned that the two of you do make time to schedule in. Let's relax. Let's have fun. I wonder, what are some of your hobbies outside of music?
Walking, cooking. I'm a pit master. I smoke a mean brisket and beef ribs. So we do the little traveling when we can. But yeah, we're just outside nature people, which is Tahoe sounds like a great idea for
Yeah,
the
you read
time
my
being
mind.
between the transitions.
You read my mind.
And of course, you get to see the ski lounges. And I think the Bruce Jenner sold his home, Caitlin, here. Not too long ago, but you can see the artifacts from the previous Winter Games Olympics.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. And audience, again, I've mentioned a couple times, and I'm going to say it again as we wrap up in just a few minutes, that by all means, you certainly have to look at Archie's YouTube channel. But on that note, Archie, I do want to give you the opportunity to make sure we let you shout out some of the companies that you're repping, the gear, who you're working with these days.
Oh, yeah. I'm currently a media partner with Universal Audio, also Sweetwater Sound. I'm a partner with them and SE Electronics Artists. So I work with tons of brands, and all of them are my friends, and we just have a lot of fun making cool content and creating music with the stuff. So that's so shout out to them.
Yeah, and I like that you say all of us are friends, because you said that all in a very relaxed, very natural, very conversational way, as opposed to artists who put too much pressure on a relationship like that and they want to make it too structured, too formal, too businessy. Let's shake hands, let's sign an agreement. What am I doing? What are you doing? Yeah, that stuff has to kind of get hashed out somewhere, but let's just create together. Let's use each other's gear and hype it to our audiences, and let's just have fun creating and seeing what the possibilities are through these collaborations, through these partnerships.
Oh yeah, and I have a very important experience in this industry that I think that the audience will benefit from. I've never closed a deal in a meeting. It's always been at a dinner table or a bar.
Hmm. Well, that makes me wonder, will I see you at the NAMM show in January?
Yes, you will. And hopefully we can hang out and go to a restaurant and have a bar experience.
Well, for sure. But that's why I'm bringing it up, because I think there's so much pressure that people want to make deals on the show floor. And I think you're here to say, yeah, they happen, but you know, they're probably happening as much, if not more, at the hotel bar than they are on the show floor.
Oh, for sure. That's why there are the events around it, not necessarily at the trade show. The events happen outside. The conversations happen outside.
I love it. I love it. Good stuff. Good stuff. We're going to close today with another one of Archie's original songs, a track called On Me. Before I let you go and we play that one, Archie, tell us first all about this song, if you would, please.
Okay, yeah. This song, On Me, is an R&B song. I wanted to blend it with a hybrid of modern R&B and kind of bluesy from like the Mississippi Delta style blues, but I wanted to modern it up, and I produced it. I brought in some of those organic instruments, and but this song, lyrically, the lyrical content, it's being a comfort place and a safe space for your significant other. So like, lay your head, that is, I am a comforting being here that's in your life that is going to help you grow, and we're going to help each other grow.
I love it. And there's something that you said in there that I want to go back to, which is, I've said a couple times that you're a multi-instrumentalist. So which instruments do you play versus when you do an original song such as On Me, what do you bring in outside players for that is just not in your list of multi-instrumentalists?
Well, I play piano and I play drums. And if I ever need to recreate and it's just I'm having a hard time programming the guitars, I reach out to my friends, which I have several that are extraordinary guitars. So my new project that's coming up, you're going to hear a lot of that outsource of guitar. On here, I program a guitar on this record, and it worked out for what it was. But nothing is like collaborating with your friends that actually play something that you don't play. And even if they do play the same instrument, hey, and they're in a different genre, you may get something different out of it.
I love it. I love it. You said new project coming up. What are you at liberty to disclose at this point about the new project coming up?
Well, I'm still trying to decide if I want to put out two EPs or if I want to just drop an album. It's self-produced. I engineered and mixed and mastered it. And I'm just trying to decide on that, how I want to present that to the world right now. So I can say it. We don't have a name yet, but there are many songs recorded and done. So,
but see, I'm going to go back to you saying that your wife has gotten you to be very structured, very scheduled. Will you put I'll call it a timeline, a deadline, a release date on the calendar for yourself to keep that moving along? Or is it just kind of organic and it'll happen when it's meant to come out?
Use seasonal language with the vibe of the music. I would never say, unless it's a couple of like months out, that this is the exact date. And I don't do pre-sales and things like that. I just want people to go and experience. For example, with the new project that's coming out, that is going to be spring of 2025.
Okay. I like that. I like the confidence while also being vague. Spring, spring, sometime in the spring.
You feel it?
I love it. I love it. Man, this has been awesome, as I knew it would be. Archie, so great to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Bruce. You are an awesome individual, and I can't wait to link up and to just hang out.
Same, same. I'll be looking forward to NAMM even more now. Audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to composer, record producer, singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, recording and mix engineer, and YouTube personality, Archie Beats. Do visit his official website at archiebeats.com. As I mentioned earlier, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. His original music is available on the likes of Spotify and iTunes, among other platforms. Be sure to go to his official YouTube channel. You will see links to it on archiebeats.com. Wow, I've said it a couple times during the interview and it bears repeating. He is nearing 10 million combined video views on there. Plus, on his YouTube channel, you'll see the start of the channel description and then the word more to read the rest. That will pop up a window where you'll then also get a list of links to Archie's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And actually, at the bottom of his Spotify profile, you can access those same social media links as well. Today, I followed Archie on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I'm sure he would appreciate you doing the same. For that matter, tell Archie you heard him and his music on Now Hear This Entertainment. I do hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Archie and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, more than 10 and a half years without missing once by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 561. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Archie Beats. This is the one he just talked about. It's called On Me.
You've always been so strong, girl. More than any man would need. You're such an inspiration. Enough for any man to keep. Your presence is essence. Life is amazing. And you are grace. Your soul is my star map. I just wanna launch into your inner space. So just lay your head on me. Just a second, baby. Lay your head on me. You've always been so perfect. In reality, this cannot be. You're regular in the bar, in my dreams. A drink with you concludes the plot I dream. It's not enough, 'cause the reality, it's tough. And you are not here. I've had it, you're right. This love is worth the fight, and I'm